We'll call to order the Economic Development Commission Friday, December 8th, 2017.
It says, oh yeah, the agenda says September on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute. Or you know what, I may have printed, you know what, in fairness, I think I printed the wrong one, because I think the one.
Yeah, the one you emailed was the correct one.
Yeah, let me just double check.
It looks the same.
Yes, there were.
No. Minutes together, so I brought up the 15th on the, I think it's pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
All right.
Roll call.
All right, Mr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Graham.
Yes.
Mrs. Dixon.
Here.
Ms. Moss.
Yes.
Mr. Brangle. Mr. Newbecker. And Mr. O'Connell.
Here.
All right, you had a quorum.
Okay. Okay, so there's no public comment, so we'll move past that one.
Really?
You don't always keep it. It's too cold to come out. So then we have the approval of the minutes. Do I approve? Somebody want to approve the minutes?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Okay. Is that an all in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
One T, no hyphen.
I got that. I noticed that. When you're out long enough, these things just happen.
So I want to do a couple of things this morning. Want to ask Eric to spend a few minutes and give us an update on some of the projects that are going on around town. Want to have a little conversation around Lake and Park. And then one item that was on the agenda that went out but isn't here is a topic that I wanted to bring to the commission, and it's a concept that I thought I have around a business roundtable, so we can have some conversation around that. So, but first I'll let Eric kind of take us through the existing projects.
Absolutely. All right. So a couple things. One thing, not directly related to the EDC, but we've got a new website we're launching on Monday. So if you go to vrf.us, you can check that out. Certainly, we'll be adding more things to it as time allows, and we can have the flexibility to develop it, especially as it relates to EDC initiatives. So that may be something next year, too, if there are folks that want to work with us in fleshing some of that stuff out. We're obviously have open ears to all those suggestions. So that's taking place on Monday. Actually, the school district, D90, is also launching their website on Monday. So I'm sure there's going to be comparisons back and forth with all the tech people. But anyhow, I digress. Lake and Lathrop, so we got that RDA squared away back at the end of September. They have since gone to the Development Review Board for an initial pre-filing conference. They have gone ahead and submitted a plan development application here at the end of November. We're in the process of reviewing that and looking to see what is, in terms of what has been submitted, what is complete, what may be missing. It's not uncommon for any plan development application to come in and not be missing a couple things, or for us to send it back and say, all right, you got to complete this or flesh this out. So we're in the process of looking at that right now, but nonetheless, progress is being made. As you did probably have seen, there is some signage out there as it relates to their marketing of their property. That came up right around Thanksgiving. They were trying to capture some of the traffic or people that may have been in town for the Thanksgiving holiday. And they're actually coming to the board on Monday night looking for a revised sign package for that signage out there. But those are good things, and certainly we're pleased to see that progress. They are planning on putting a sales office up in the property across the street on the south side of the property where River Forest Chocolates previously was. They had a little office over there. I believe there's an interior designer of some sort that works out of there. They plan on having establishing a presence over there for sales. Chicago and Harlem. So you probably maybe even heard in the paper. We've talked about this a little tangentially through the months and years. There is an interest from some folks at Kaufman Jacobs with their senior senior use partner to redevelop the TCF Bank site at Chicago and Harlem into a independent living slash assisted living facility. They're looking specifically at the TCF Bank site and potentially up to two residential properties north of the bank site. And so depending on the footprint that they're able to secure and acquire, there's somewhere between 4 to 5 stories, somewhere between, I would say, 80, 90 units. A lot of this is in flux, so these are all preliminary numbers. They haven't gotten into the weeds on any type of market research or market study yet as it relates to what the breakdown would be between like assisted living and independent living. So those things are still very much in a state of flux. They did say that when they came to the board and gave them the village board a preliminary overview. They said as much, like, look, we can't hold this yet at this point to any specific numbers because we're still fleshing that out. But nonetheless, we're pleased to see that they've come and they're willing to make an investment in the community. Those projects are not inexpensive. My guess would be their total investment would be probably somewhere in the vicinity of $30 to $35 million. They've done similar projects with this partner previously, one in Park Ridge, also one in Northbrook as well. I've reached out actually to my colleagues in Northbrook, and they were spoke very favorably and highly of the development team and the operator as well. So,
do we? Maybe it's too early to know this, but based on a $30 to $35 million development cost, what kind of real estate taxes does that generate?
Yeah, I have some preliminary numbers on that based on actually when we did Lake and Park, when we had those, there was a similarly sized project. So it definitely is a net gain for the village, even though, TCF Bank is assessed at a 25% level of their assessed valuation and a senior living facility would be 10%, but would still be a net increase. That has to get not finalized, but fleshed out when they come to the development review board with their packet. So there's an economic impact statement slash analysis that comes with their application that will speak to that in more detail. I did talk to the developer and I asked him to come to your January meeting, which would be right now scheduled for January 12th, which is the second Monday. And of course, we'll talk about dates later on in the meeting. Assuming that is still your date, he will be here to discuss and give you an overview of his project, consistent with some of those policies we put in place a year or two ago that talked about, trying to get these developers to come talk to you guys here on the front end to avoid, I think it was the Hines issue, so that there's more input coming in early as opposed to late.
Just a general question, and I only bring this up because...
Make sure your microphone's on. Yeah.
Just a general question. I bring it up because of a conversation I had with the village of Schaumburg when it's looking at developing or redeveloping some sites there. One of the concerns that they have put on the table about bringing in additional senior housing, okay, is kind of the infrastructure demand that often senior housing puts on a community with respect to emergency services and those sort of things. How is that potentially calculated into the village's assessment of the, positive impact part of bringing another project like that? Don't get me wrong, I think the demand's actually going to be proven out to be there, mm-hmm. but I just think the question is, is that a factor that we put on the table when we think about moving forward with projects like that?
Yes, and so one of the things that the developer has to prove up or at least have a discussion, a narrative in their application is in regards to impact on village services. What kind of effect does that have? In a project like that, I would say the two things that would come to mind would be fire EMS response. We've noticed a little bit of an uptick after Loyola Gottlieb went online on North Avenue because people often go there when they should have gone
to the
ER. So there was an immediate need, but it was an immediate and an emergency. So, we have seen a little bit of an uptick. I mean, as I sit here today, I believe based on where our call volume is in the fire department, I believe they can handle even an increase in calls. But to answer your question directly, there still has to be some discussion, and the developer is going to have to share some data on that so we have a better sense of what that demand would be.
So just one other piece on that is, you know, as we just kind of do a little bit of a look down the road, you know, the demographics of this community are a little bit older right now, and so can we kind of, you know, forecast a little bit about what those needs might look like so we don't cut ourselves short when these guys, you know, they open up a year, 18 months from now, and then all of a sudden, 24 months from now, we're seeing a bigger uptick because of some of the other developments in town.
Yep.
Or just the general, you know, demographics of the community.
Sure, and we can share, I mean, we've got data, obviously, on where our you know, call volume for the fire department has been over the last year, 5 years. I mean, I can tell you just anecdotally, EMS calls have gone up maybe 20% over the last 5 or 6 years. So they are, but that's, and that's not just River Forest. I would say that is more, to your point, regionally as, and maybe even nationally as the population skews in that direction. But no, that's a good point, and I would tend to agree with that. The second item, though, that comes up that we're starting to get into as a staff when these developments come online is the capacity as it relates to our water system. And so that's something you would think about just off the top of your head. And it doesn't come up as much in this part of the Chicagoland area because we have Lake Michigan, right? But we still have a capacity based on how much water we can pump with our existing system, even within the pipes and the infrastructure. So we actually hired a consultant to come in, and they've done a full modeling of our water system to show, okay, where are your weak points, where are your pressure areas, where have you had a lot of breaks, what do you need to upgrade, and so that when a development comes online, we can then take their development, model it into our GIS system, which all this data will then go into, and say, okay, there's a lot of complexity to it, but at the end of the day, can our system handle this development? So that's the other thing that we're concerned about. The sewer stuff, I mean, in stormwater, the MWRD has a lot of regulations. We have our own stormwater regs. The MWRD has to sign off on those permits, so they review a lot of that as well. But yeah, that's water and EMS on a project like this would be our true concerns. As I sit here today, do I think we can work through those? Yes. But there's still things we need to be sensitive to and cautious about as we move forward. So all very good points. All right. Chicago and Harlem. Madison Street TIF. So we've had some previous discussion on this. The board did approve in early November to acquire the Lutheran Children and Family Services property at 7620 Madison. For $1 million. So we are under contract. Actually, just yesterday, we wired the earnest money, and we're set to close by next Friday.
Oh, that's great. What happened with the properties that were up for auction? You know, they're on Madison Street. They're just past Pete's.
That's what we're.
That is part of Lutheran.
That is,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they had Hilco representing them, and they took this approach of instead of just listing it for sale, they took bids by a certain date, and I think you had shared with me that's kind of their strategy that they employ. Yeah. So we put a bid in, and then a negotiation was subsequent from that, and then they selected us as their winning bidder.
Were there other bids?
They indicated that they said there were, but you know, they indicated to me after they would close and it was signed, sealed, and delivered that they would share with me. The real estate agent was going to check with LCFS to make sure it was okay. They could share with me the people that expressed an interest in the property from a real estate development standpoint, so we could go back at some point and reach out to them.
They're doing a sale leaseback, right?
Yes, for a minimum of 3 months.
Oh, only 3 months?
Yeah.
Oh.
It may be a little bit longer, and if they want to go longer, we're fine with that because we don't have an immediate use of the property. This was a strategic purchase by the village based on the fact that that area is a redevelopment site, a primary redevelopment site within our corridor plan, and the property was being sold voluntarily.
Okay.
So, but that includes, It is a little misleading. It's, if you go look at the that section of Madison Street, it starts at Ashland and works its way to all the one-story property. Then there's like a two-story property. The first two-story property is LCFS as well.
Okay.
So it's up to that point. Then there's two other properties on that block. There's another one that's owned independently, and then you have Pete's.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's about 30,000 square feet or so.
So the one that's owned independently, the village doesn't have control over.
Correct.
So at the village, was it the village board meeting when they came in?
Mm-hmm.
They came in and they were very adamant. So, somehow their address got thrown into a newspaper article, and they weren't very happy about it. And they basically said, just want to let you know, we have no interest in doing anything with this property. So, as we think about it, and everything has its price. So, but they were very clear when they
true.
Came in.
That's true.
You know,
what was the TIF fund balance prior to this $1 million?
Yeah, we don't have. So, in order to fund that, we're loaning, the general fund has loaned the TIF fund $1 million.
Again, answering my question.
We haven't received a payment yet from the county. So it's all in a negative. Yes, correct. So our general fund reserve is somewhere in the vicinity of 40 to 45% of expenditures. So we've been very good through the years in managing our overall budget operations. So we've built up a decent fund reserve. So we're actually able to then loan that to the TIF fund, put a little interest on there, and then pay it back. As you know, we've put in more or less a 10-year amortization period to pay it back, but we can accelerate that or restructure that if we need to.
So as it relates to this then, what are our next steps after we close on it? So we let them ride out their whatever sale leaseback period
yes.
of time. Are we going to put it out for development, or you know, what's the board's thought at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of two things. One, I think as we work on the comprehensive plan and we start putting the strategies in place for economic development, I think that will flesh itself out a little bit. And then also, I think having a discussion with this group sometime next year to talk about, okay, we have a key piece of property under contract. How do we go about and start to look at redevelopment options there? Do we do an RFQ, RFP type situation? Do we look for strategic partnerships? Do we look at other property acquisition? There's other things that we'll want to talk about. Yep.
So there's a high probability that that will be sitting vacant for some time then?
Yes. And there was one of the discussions that comes up is, well, do you tear it down or do you let it sit there? My opinion has been that you let it sit there only because, even though there are some associated maintenance costs with that, when things come, my experience has been as a faithful government bureaucrat for 16 years, is that when you take things down, then people have an expectation that what now that it's been removed and there's nothing there and then something goes up, their ability to get over that hump of having something there becomes greater.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there any value in trying to find somebody to do short-term lease? You know, so at least we can kind of defer some of the costs?
That's a possibility. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that we, the board and I haven't talked about that, but if you think that's something, you know, certainly a recommendation that we should look at, I'm certainly not opposed to that. We just want to make sure we've got flexibility with that. Yeah.
Well, I would assume that LCFS was doing this for concerns. I don't think they were doing very well. They get money from the state. So I bet you they'd be up for taking a longer than 3-month lease. You said minimum 3 months,
right.
So I bet you they would stay in there for the right price.
Yeah, part of their. I haven't talked to their folks recently because I've mostly been talking with their real estate team and their attorneys as we've been pulling this thing together. I know they're doing like a consolidation of 3 or 4 different properties, so I don't know if they've leased something else somewhere, okay. But I can certainly reach out to them because if they wanted to stay longer, we've told them on the front end, you know, there's nothing on the horizon for, you know, the time being. So if you need to stay put, we're okay with that.
I think even marketing it with, you know, a 3-month notice kick out or there's plenty of people that would probably take it, especially if it was a little lower than market, but they knew they had 4 months notice or reasonable time to get out.
What does the space even look like?
I was just in there for Community Foundation. We gave them a grant. There's an atrium area, and then it's offices. It's just offices.
Just like a basic office, kind of. Okay.
You could really put it, you could put a dental practice in there. You could do anything really. That, I mean, a dental office wouldn't go in there short term, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think it makes some sense to consider once they decide they're leaving, if there are options to have someone in it. I think occupied space is always more secure than vacant space, especially if we're thinking we're not going to tear it down, which I totally get that mindset change that you probably want to avoid around here. So, you know, I think if we can think about, you know, the idea of marketing it to a co-work space or to, you know, somebody that, you know, could just use some temporary spaces or moving into something else, I think it would be good for the village to have that covered.
Okay.
Just kind of one other thought, as kind of jumping back to Lake Lathrop, any of the tenants over there, would we try to repurpose that building for any of those tenants?
If you were going to move them temporarily, they wouldn't be happy about it.
No, to move them permanently, because I don't know how many are going to want to go back in that space or are going to be able to go back in that space or whatever the situation is.
Having spoken to a handful of them who I know,
right.
They have pretty much identified where they're going and kind of a longer-term plan. They're not necessarily executing immediately because there's some timeline about, you know, when do you really have to move, and some have longer leases than others. But they're all actively looking at spots where they're definitely going to park themselves with visibility and parking and all that stuff that they feel they need.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm aware of two. At least two where they have identified spaces.
Yeah.
And there's I would agree there's probably more. So.
Okay.
All right. North Avenue TIF, with a lot of these other things going on, admittedly, the North Avenue TIF has shifted a little bit to the back burner in terms of some of our public processes, although we're still moving with our consultant and the attorneys in the background doing a lot of the necessary legwork and due diligence. A lot of that includes a lot of the address and verification information as we start to draw our borders around the TIF. That also, and one of our challenges becomes not only just our properties in River Forest, but then identifying the properties in Elmwood Park, Oak Park in Chicago, because that 750 radius goes around and around. So we've been working on that. My plan is after the first of the year to start having some engagement meetings with residents in the North Avenue area and businesses as well. But before we go down the road of launching the public process, the official process, we want to have a lot of, I don't want to call my coffees, but smaller meetings that are more conversational in nature and less formal to start to address those concerns and that the residents may or may not have, and try to educate people as much. So it's going to require a lot more work, but I think hopefully at the end we'll produce a better outcome for us.
Question. Sorry, I'm full of questions today.
No, that's okay.
So now with the vacancy in the Sears store officially done, I would imagine that what happens on that corner will have a huge influence on what can happen on North Avenue, or what maybe targeted activity would be on North Avenue. I don't think I've heard anything really concrete or even remotely active about potential interest in the redevelopment of that parcel at this stage. But I would, you know, is there thought to like kind of slowing things down also because of trying to figure out what that piece is? Because I think that is such a pivotal impact corner that could either, you know, flow opportunities into what could be a vision for North Avenue on both sides of the street, or actually just kind of go, maybe there's really nothing to do right here, right now, and we need to not, you know, put ourselves in that space.
I would say in terms of the TIF, I would say we still want to move forward with the TIF because the TIF really becomes the financing arm for everything, right? So when something happens in the future, we have the ability to use that to help bridge whatever gap exists. So, and it takes time to go through that process, and so I would say we're still committed to doing that next year. Okay. However, to your point, from a strategy perspective, if this group and the board say, look, you know, even though we have this in place, we're going to do this, this, and whatever that might be, and maybe that is a hold strategy. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but if it is, that's okay, but I still think we want the TIF in there for the
front. So the clock doesn't start. When does the clock start on the TIF once it's officially activated?
Right, exactly.
So you wind up potentially chewing time while you're waiting to see what happens?
True, but it's 23 years.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, just that.
Oh, yeah, no.
What has 90 or 200 said about this TIF?
Well, using Madison Street, 90 voted no. Everyone else voted yes. I don't think 200 was at that meeting. They're certainly open to it. We've told District 90 we're willing to consider some sort of intergovernmental agreement. We could never come to terms on that, similar to kind of what was done with the Lake Street TIF. It wouldn't have been as lucrative for the school district, but we were still willing to do something, but we could negotiate through some of the terms and conditions on what that looked like that I was not comfortable recommending to the board on. So we just dropped it, and we put the TIF in place. So as we get to North Avenue, if the school district wanted to repropose something along those lines, you know, we're open to having those discussions.
Along the lines on North Avenue, how's Fresh Thyme doing in terms of sales? And
We haven't gotten any reports yet from the state on sales tax for the year yet. We're still working with the Department of Revenue on some things. I have not heard one way or the other, anecdotally or officially.
Nice to have it up there, though.
Yeah.
It's busy.
Is it busy?
It can be busy. If you go in the evenings, it's like a wave of people, like right after work, and then it kind of tapers off, of course. But I think the people on the north side of River Forest are really appreciating kind of the walk over and get a pound of butter for like something that's like really great. That way it's nice to have that, so hopefully mm-hmm. that's working out. And it also does seem to pull from Elmwood Park pretty well. I see people who I believe live in Forest Park, you know, because it's perceived to be a little less expensive than Jewel.
And Jewel mm-hmm. isn't any less crowded.
No, so. Actually, Jewel was crazy crowded recently. I don't know what's going on with that.
My daughter's review on it is good too. She does not like cereal.
Yeah, the cereal is a little holistic kind of.
Well, you can't buy a Diet Coke in there. Kind of that threw me off a little bit.
You can buy kombucha, and you can buy really esoteric like yogurt, but it's a little in that weird space.
Right. But you could still get Pabst Blue Ribbon there, though. So that's
absolutely.
So it's go figure, right? I'm not complaining. I'm just stating a fact. All right, and maybe this then will dovetail to Lincoln Park.
Is anything going on Bonnie Brain Thomas?
Oh yeah, so they have come in for a permit on their that condo project, and so we are working through the building permitting issues as we speak.
And so is that next spring, do they think? Or
yeah, they have to.
Is there a pre-sale?
I don't know how well that's going. I can tell you that by, I don't know the exact date off the top of my head, but by first quarter of next year, they either have to start pulling some permits or they have to come in for an extension. Because essentially the way our zoning works on planned developments, if you don't come in for permit within so many months, then your zoning expires but you can't get an extension from the village board.
Along the lines of sales, how are the sales of the townhomes going? And are they allowed to be rented? Because I thought at one time they could be.
Madison?
Yeah.
Yes. So I think they're starting to pick up a little bit. Actually, my staff went through a walkthrough there earlier this week as they're trying to close out some of those building issues. So, you know, one of the things we're working through is just like you have to come in and get a plan development approved and started in a certain time frame, there's also on the back end, you've got to get it completed in a certain time frame. So we're actually working with them to try to get it completed and buttoned up on the outside, understanding that they don't have all these things sold and they're not going to go ahead and finish them, you know, they're not going to spec things out and just, you know, and then have to change them. So we're working with them to be creative, to allow them the flexibility to close out their main permit, but then come in for individual build-out permits as they build the vanilla boxes for all that. I don't know if it's gone as fast or as quickly as they would have liked it to, but I know they've closed on seven or eight units.
Yeah, eight.
Is it eight now? Yeah, seven or eight units. Now, in terms of rental, they do have the ability. They've always had the ability for people to buy something and individually rent them, right? There is, at the front end, when we talked about this on the zoning standpoint, was whether they could turn it into like a rental community. That ship has somewhat sailed because they started to sell these things out, unless they hold some of them and rent them.
Yeah, they could hold some of them and sell and rent
right,
them.
Right, exactly.
So they still have the ability to rent.
Yes. Yes, they do.
But it's gone slower than they anticipated, obviously.
Right.
Have they been able to hold their pricing on the ones they've sold?
That's a good question.
$479 for $3.
That's what it's listed, but where's the sales?
Their original offering prices were in the $5.
Yeah, yeah. $550 to like $590.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
We'll call those construction discounts, but you're still living in the middle of a construction zone.
Another unit, $499.
It's just a tough sell. Like, we were...
Yeah, we knew that in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know if anybody... It's just, it seems like everything in Oak Park is gone. I mean, it's just like they filled all those buildings, and, you know, we were looking... There is some, like, some studios left in the one by Target, but it seems like those have all been very successful.
If you ask what the difference is, they're putting in ground floor retail, and we keep building these boxes with nothing downstairs. Yeah. There's a reason people live in a walking area.
Yep.
In my opinion. Yep. They want to live in a institutionalized tower of cement.
Yep. But hopefully some of that will, you know, bleed over when, you know, blinking lights are up. And so.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about rental versus for sale.
Right.
And I don't know that the for sale projects in Oak Park have necessarily done quite as quick a sellout as you would have thought. I think the rental projects have gone very well.
Yeah.
Those numbers are crazy, but they seem to have done well. But I don't think the for sales have moved.
I think the Tasty Dog.
I was about to say.
Tasty Dog is.
Yeah, Tasty Dog is a very unique little boutique
right.
building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the woman told us at Harrison and Lombard that they have seven units there that they're all sold.
Oh, that's good. That's surprising.
Yeah. And then.
What about Chicago Avenue and.
Maple?
Maple.
They have like one or two left.
Really?
The old Villager.
Wow.
I'm sorry?
It's the old Villager site.
Yeah, yeah, they have like one or two left. At least they did like a month or so ago.
More boutique.
It's convenient. Between dog places.
Okay.
They didn't sell as quickly as they wanted.
I think the problem with Madison is more just townhomes. Who's going to live there? Super elderly are not going to live there, and people with a bunch of, you know, a few kids are not going to live there. You're looking for an empty nester. You know, I mean, it's just a very specific.
Empty nester wants to live on three floors.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Maybe. So we had someone that was there that they didn't have any children. They were in their mid-40s. They were looking at it. One of them worked at Proviso East. You know, I mean, it's how specific is that, though?
Right.
Yeah. All right, and then the last item would be Lakin Park. And I know Bob wanted to share some comments on that. I can tell you that the RFQ has been on the street. We've had 35 people request it, and download it, and get the RFQ. So they're reviewing that as well. Jennifer Tammen from Ehlers is still engaged in this process and will be until completion. And so she's been spending a lot of her time as well, quote-unquote, marketing the RFQ to folks in the development community. She's had some very good feedback and anticipates that we're going to get some decent responses here. And she's already talked to a small handful of people that have indicated that they're definitely in providing a response.
Okay.
So it was kind of an interesting process to go through, and I think, you know, from the village board down with having Susan and Carmella join us on kind of keep the group small to have some conversation, and Bob joined us for one of our last go-rounds. Kind of bringing all this stuff together, there's a lot of ups and downs with it. I think if we do it again, I think there's some things that I learned from that I think I'd do differently. I think I personally feel like, you know, where the village board wanted kind of a subcommittee approach to it, I think leaving more members of this board out of it was a little bit of a miss on my part. And I think going forward, if we wind up with something at the Lutheran Home or whatever, I think we want to expand that a little bit, because I think a few more heads in the mix would have served us well. I think Jennifer did a great job. I think she's got a lot of contacts. I think the end product is good. If you haven't gone on and looked at it, or you didn't get a copy of it, please do. Talk to people about it. Send it out there. And I think we're going to have some pretty good response on it. Where we kind of landed was really just talking about the corner and kind of sharing our conversations and our feelings about what would happen with Jack and his property. But beyond that, we really didn't do too much of anything in terms of, you know, getting any engagement on the townhouses or the other units. But I think those are more, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, those are kind of more the conversations of once we get somebody in here, we can then share some of our more our broader ideas in terms of what we really think this could be. And then the last thing is, I think, and just in conversations, I think, you know, as the guys at Lake and Lathrop are finding a little bit and coming back to the board, even with the signage issue, is, you know, the village has got to be more receptive to thinking a little bit outside of the box in terms of getting some of this development stuff done. And I think that's kind of, that will be one of the next steps that we can help play a role in it as some of these things come forward. I think, you know, getting back to why this group was created and to add our commentary as residents, but also our expertise in our various professional lives, I think that's where we're really going to be able to help move some of these things going forward on this. So for those of you who participated, thank you. There's more work to come on it, and it's going to be pretty exciting, you know, once we get some of these people in front of us and we start talking about it. So anything else on your side?
No.
Any questions on Lakin Park?
So we're still figuring out what we want to do there, essentially. And we're going to kind of I thought the plan was at one point that we were going to have control over the properties and then go and try to talk with different developers and say, this is what we have. But now it sounds like we're going to, and I'm not just clarifying, now it sounds like we're going to kind of listen to the developers and then figure out what we're going to do in terms of
Yeah, I think when we first started having the conversation with Jack, Jack Strand, I think we all felt like if we could get by him, then that would be the impetus for us to have further conversations. But, you know, given the fact that conversation didn't go well, that Jack, you know, will Jack sell that property at some point in time? I think we all agree at some point in time he will. I don't think we had enough, and the timing wasn't right for us to make that conversation, which again would have then, if we would have been able to do this, I think we all would have been excited about having conversations down the street and start putting it all together. But without that, I think we just kind of need to stop and let the developers start doing their thing with it.
And the way the process is laid out here is that once the RFQs are submitted, those are eventually going to be shortlisted. And before there's a lot of, you know, and so once there's two or three or however many folks are identified as potential partners that the village wants to move forward with, before they get too far into the weeds and doing all their due diligence, that's when we're going to encourage all of them then to go and have a conversation with the property owner. So that we try to find that balance of, we can't acquire, you know, the market says acquire the property. Well, we can't do it. So how do we then minimize that impact to the development people so they still want to participate, but they're not spending all this time? What we wanted to avoid was that we get two people, they go put all these presentations together, all these, you know, drawings, all this due diligence. They come to the village says, we pick you. Then that person goes over there and says, nope, can't get anything worked out.
So that's kind of where we're at with it today. Our next go round on the RFQ, taking a look at the RFQs.
So they are to be submitted by December 15th. So that's a week from today. And then I think Jennifer's going to start, you know, pulling that together with the holidays. I would say after the holidays are over, is when we'll sit down again.
Okay. So maybe we put that on the agenda to talk about next time also.
Okay.
And just kind of with the, we'll hold off and talk about the date there just for a second.
Okay.
And then I'm not on the agenda. So if any other questions on Lincoln Park? I had an idea about something as there's conversations going on about Chicago and Harlem and the Lutheran Home and Family Facility. And the idea was kind of around a business roundtable or a business lunch. Talk to the board about, funding a luncheon or whatever. Invite business people here to talk about, existing business people, what's working, what's not working, what would you like to see? See if there's any people we can recruit. I know just in conversations with Eric, people call him and they want to know about things in River Forest space-wise. We all know there's people poking around here looking for something, and just kind of collectively bring those things together and try to see if we can get some information. And maybe that helps us as we're doing the TIF on North Avenue, looking at, the TIF on Madison Street, any other kind of redevelopment that may come up over the, over the near or long term. So it's just an idea. So I just kind of wanted to throw it out there, see if anybody, thoughts, ideas, make sense, doesn't make sense, waste of time. Won't be offended, Kathy. Any anything that you might be able to add would be appreciated. So just kind of throwing it out there.
I think it's always good to try to get community input back to that community capacity thing, but I think the challenge can somewhat be, we have a very diverse group of, it's a very interesting mix of business people. I mean, are you talking about maybe entrepreneurial business owners who basically live in the village? Or are we talking about people whose businesses are housed in the village? I mean, where do you see this set of people potentially coming from?
So I think I'm kind of open to it. So my idea was, when I look at, so we now own a building on Madison Street, and so it was kind of the conversation we were just having is, what are we going to do with that building? And so maybe there is an entrepreneur in town that is, kind of weighing their, weighing what they're going to do. My brother bought the old Masonic Temple in Elmhurst and converted that into an office building. Are there some secondary uses that can bring? So it's business people, it's developers who might have an idea for it, inside, outside. I kind of go back to, comment that you made, Lee, when we started talking about stuff that we want here is, is there a restaurateur that wants to go on Madison Street? I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing it out there to see, how do we let the business community know that we're in the business of generating business for the village?
And so do you just do it exclusively to businesses and developers in River Forest, or do you open it up to the western suburbs?
I don't know.
How do you create the list, I guess, is what I'm saying.
We create the list however we want to create it. This is really just kind of a real raw thought in my mind. So, again, we do whatever we want to do. It's just a matter of, again, how we want to do it, what the format's going to look like, and what it is that we're going to be able to show. So if we're going to show, and talk about what's available in our TIF on Madison Street, what potentially could be available in our TIF on North Avenue, kind of some of the stuff along Harlem, all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. Lee?
I'd be interested in seeing a tour of the place and then maybe having a breakfast or lunch after, just bring them. I know there's some internet services and stuff that manage the whole lease function of temporary office space. Mm-hmm. And if the Lutheran services building set up where it's a workable office without having to really put much money in, it might be worthwhile to consider a partnership with a company that's already doing short-term, by the week, by the day, by the month rental.
Yep.
Just to generate, to get some give people a place to go. And if it does really well, you know, that could be a business then that becomes part of, you know, above the restaurant.
Right, right.
Are you thinking like almost like an incubator space type of thing?
Well, there's different services. There's things not, you've probably heard of WeWork. Right. There's also other, there's other businesses like that that will, you know, that have, I can't think of the name of it right now, but look online, look for where the desks are, and they set their own rates, and mm-hmm. rent the conference rooms out. It's almost like
Regus.
An Uber for office space.
Regus.
It's the new form, Regus. Yeah. But actually, there is one now in Madison. It occupies what used to be the doctor's office, right?
Yes.
Just east, like
a
west
circle.
Of Circle.
Used to be
yeah.
a liquor store. That's how long.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I wasn't around for that iteration. I think it would be. I think if we didn't wind up tying ourselves to any specific thing, you know, not. I mean, I think the Lutheran Family Services Building control is a great thing. I think we need to figure out how we want to handle that for the long term
right.
flexibility of what we want to do. But if this is an opportunity to take that, we're trying to develop business for a community that needs, that wants and needs business.
Right.
And these are the corridors that we've got. If we're taking that input as an opportunity to help us formulate some true, back to my always present, I think Nina and I are always there, market capacity for what should happen.
Right.
Or what can happen, I think there'd be a great outcome. Because I think we often sit around and go, or the community can sit around and go, we think it should be A, B, C, and
right.
D. And if the market, the community comes back and goes, that's not what we're going
right.
to do here.
Right.
It would be good to be able to tie that input, you know, directly to an engagement and conversation. So if it winds up helping to trigger a specific project, that's great. But I think using those that outreach to help inform us as to what the market will say it is, has an interest in doing,
right.
and I think that would be great information and definitely worthwhile trying to pull together.
Okay.
Do you think we'd be able to get a tour of the building at some point?
He's going to own it next Friday.
Come pick up the keys.
I even think, you know, I'm kind of at the end of my restrictive period and I'm about to launch something. So I'm thinking, well, gee, you know, not that that location's where I was thinking of opening, but, you know, depending on the condition and
right.
what the rate is, you know, you might be able to get a lot of people who are starting up businesses in Forest Park or River Forest if the rate's reasonable.
Sure.
And, you know, you drop internet in, so the building has internet and a few other things, and you set up flexible short-term leases, no expectation that you're going to be there forever, but lower their costs so that internet's already there.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't having to call AT&T and everything.
Yeah.
And if the rates are reasonable, we might be able to turn that into at least a break-even prospect
right.
and get some businesses.
Well, yeah, I mean, so as a specific project, but as a bigger project than just in terms of generating economic development
yeah.
within, you know,
well,
if you...
Well, like if we do any building, it's worked really well other areas to have the second floor of a four-story building be commercial, because if you have a restaurant, it kind of creates a buffer
right.
so the residential people aren't stacked on top of the retail. But it can't hurt.
I was Friday night, we were at the thing on Madison Street, and we were talking to the guy that owns Scratch, and he's actually going to do another restaurant, but he's going over to Harvey and Harrison.
Actually, the person I was thinking of that should be a part of this, that's good. Sorry, don't...
No, go ahead.
Adam Freeberg is the developer. He he bought the old La Mojada, and he bought... He's the Sugar Beet Kitchen.
Right.
He's renting the Cheryl now, but they used to be River Forest Kitchen. He's also bought the Puppy Place. He's bought a lot of places in local ownership that he's renting it to. Just a really interesting guy. Just when you were mentioning this, I even wrote his name down.
Yeah.
And he's renting that place to Patrick now for the new Scratch Kitchen.
So my first job ever, that place used to be a place called The Fryer. I used to deliver chicken on my bike from there. So, but anyhow, I digress. So my...
So
my conversation on Friday night was, you know, his opinion is that, you know, between River Forest and Forest Park, we need to do something west of Des Plaines because nothing makes it west of Des Plaines. And there,
yeah.
he was making kind of a general
That's
statement.
True.
But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, the Molly Malone space is there. It's huge. You know, do we have any idea what they're doing with that? you know, can we roll it into this conversation about the Madison Street TIF? I don't know what conversations you've had. So again, I'm kind of just starting to percolate this idea, but I wanted to bring it to you. You know, I'd ask you to give some thought over the next couple of weeks or whatever. When we reconvene again, maybe we can have some further conversation about it. I have no preconceived notions of what this looks like, but I just think, you know, if we're gonna make some impact, this is probably a good place for us to make some impact.
I think it's great you brought his name up. I actually wrote it down there when you mentioned that, so it's a kind of a small world thing.
Is there a Madison Street Chamber of Commerce or a local business group over that?
Sort of an amalgamation of a couple of different things. So Forest Park's Chamber of Commerce, you know, does all of Forest Park, but frankly, they do pretty much Madison. Yeah. So they run most of the retail events and things like that. And then they kind of stop right at the end of the...
worthwhile to invite them. Some of their members
absolutely
might care.
Yeah.
And it can't hurt to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So when are you thinking of doing this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think, you know, we got to get through the holidays. And again, I want to give some thoughts. So maybe we talk about it in January. And then
get a date January to do like a walkthrough or something. Maybe after our meeting for anyone who can make it or another time.
Okay.
I'm hearing a couple of different things at the same time, though. Yeah. You know, definitely. So three things I think we've talked about. One is a specific walkthrough through
right.
this project, so that's interesting. Another is very geographic. So, you know, the conversation that you have on North Avenue is very different than what you would have in Madison. I think it's a great idea, though, because just what you did on Friday night, yes, people are going to call Eric if they're interested, but they're also going to go to all the other business owners and find out, you know, what they have to say. So rather than couch it as, hey, business people, we want your opinion, it might not be a bad idea for this group or the village or some combination to host an annual just business luncheon.
Right.
And our mission is to get information. But on the other hand, we also want that mission to be, we want these business owners telling them part of the message we're trying to sell as well.
Right. And that's probably a more controllable and easily executable program is, mm-hmm. you know who's got business licenses in town, you invite them, you
sure.
have lunch, and then you take the next step. But to your point, Lee,
right.
on, you know, when we figure out what we can or can't do with that building, you know, maybe that also becomes part of the conversation of, you know, if you're sitting over here in Jack's building and, you know, and you want to make a move and you want to do something else, here's another building for you. Maybe you need more space than Jack has available, and, you know, there's all sorts of different ways that we can kind of bring that into part of the conversation. So let's just, if we could, just give it some thought over the next, you know, couple of weeks, and when we reconvene, we can kind of put some dates to it and stuff. But
Eric, have you been in the building?
I have not, no.
A quick walkthrough will determine.
It's a nice building.
What's
it needs a little love.
We own it now. We
love it. Exactly. And now it's worth $1.5 million. Because we own it. We're going to make this building better.
Right now.
I don't know if, you know, after we close it, someone can just go through and shoot pictures or video just so it's easy.
Well, I mean, they're going to still operate there. So it's just really more of a matter of, you know,
timing
of doing it or whatever. So, but yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So we know they're going to be there for 3 months. So, but you know, I don't think we have to wait 3 months if we want to take some pictures to see what's going on there. So that's my idea. So if we can just kind of give that some thought. Anything else on? Okay. Any other business?
You know, I just throw this fun fact out that it's just sort of FYI, but yeah, so very apropos to what you're saying, we've been doing some studies of all of the business licenses in Oak Park and kind of that community capacity thing. The residents think that business is retail and restaurants. In Oak Park, only 20% of the businesses are retail or restaurants. 80% of the businesses are not. Even in downtown Oak Park, 25% of the businesses are retail and restaurant. And so to your point, that second floor, when we have these conversations, we may want a restaurant and we may want a retailer, we will get a dentist.
Right.
We will get all of these services. So,
That's interesting.
I just thought
the business to support the restaurants.
You do.
Because if it's all residential, And then there's not enough retail. No one's going there during enough. The day. Mm-hmm. So that mix is important.
Well, we're also finding that 60% of sales tax in downtown Oak Park is generated by people not from Oak Park.
Oh,
so how much? 60?
60, yeah. So anyway, so those sorts of facts are just things that I thought I'd share, and it would be fun to talk about.
Yeah.
At a, something that.
Are they getting the Apple Store?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
This is give up on the Apple Store. There's no Apple Store.
Here's
coming
my
in
Apple
this
Store, right? Where do you want my Amazon delivered? That's my Apple Store.
So. Okay, meeting dates. We had at one point in time kind of settled on the third Friday of the month.
Second?
Yeah, second Friday.
Okay.
Is there any way we can do the third Friday of next
month? We now need to go to the third Friday.
I already booked a flight on that date, so to come home from somewhere. So.
Yeah.
Can we do the 19th? Is everybody good on the 19th?
Yes.
Nina? Lee?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. And would you, so you're going to extend an invitation to?
Are we officially changing it to the third Friday?
Just for January, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, I think we just want to, my challenge is that sometimes I have, on Fridays, usually the fourth, but sometimes the third, some professional development activities, so. That's why I had pushed for the second, because then I'll never have a conflict with that. The 19th does work, so I'm
okay
for the 19th.
So then do we want to, the second Friday work for everyone then?
On the second Friday,
except for January.
Is that President's Day weekend?
The 9th?
Is it,
February 19th.
I think in
one.
General it would be nice if we don't do our meeting attached to a long weekend.
That one happens to be because it's the King holiday on Monday.
Because I would...
No, I'm sorry. The 12th. Right.
Right.
So the 19th.
The
19th works.
But then in February, it's President's
Day. In January and February, then it is.
President's Day is the 19th.
The 19th.
So actually, the 9th would.
The 9th will be okay.
So second. So generally second Friday.
Right. Okay.
Usually. Okay. So we're meeting the
9th. 1/19 and then 2/9. And then we'll go from there.
Okay. That works.
Okay.
I'll reach out. I had booked the senior development guys for the 9th, so I'll reach back out to them, make sure they're available for the following.
Good.
Friday.
Thanks.
March, are we March 9th also?
Yes.
Yeah, February 9th, March 9th.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Thanks. Everybody have a great holiday.